Our scripture reading today is a couple of passages from the book of Acts. Hear now the word of the Lord. And this is Peter speaking, just so you know who's talking. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know. This man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many signs and wonders were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, just as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke their bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. May God bless our understanding of this sacred text, and will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Perhaps you saw the invitation in the weekly email. Perhaps you accepted the invitation in the weekly email and joined us in the SIME room on Fridays at noon. The idea was simple. Folks brought a lunch, takeout, or packed from home. As we ate, we watched and discussed brief Bible study videos. In all honesty, our conversations often started with the video, but meandered far and wide. Then, for the last 15 minutes or so, we went around the circle to share our joys and concerns, and then we closed with a time of prayer. It was delightfully low-key. Participants didn't have to do any homework, and even my own prep time as the facilitator was negligible. I loved the connections that were forged and strengthened across that circle. I loved the freewheeling conversations and the gift of breaking bread and praying together. Honestly, I think my only regret is that I'm not sure it should have been called Friday Forum. It should have been called Friday Friends, because that's ultimately what we were doing together, building friendships in Christ. It was all very reminiscent of the early church as it is described in Acts, devotion to teaching and fellowship and prayer, eating food with glad and generous hearts, always making room for God to add to our number. I guess we didn't sell our possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, but we did often share our cookies. Friday Forum, or Friday Friends, as we may well rechristen it, is merely a microcosm of First Congo. It is one of so many small groups that embody the spirit of faith and friendship in this place. From the Women's Society Rummage Sale, to the Men's Breakfast, to Plymouth Fellowship, to ministry committees and Lectio Divina groups, the opportunities to make new friends and keep the old are endless. When new members join our congregation, I ardently pray that they will take the risk of joining a committee or a fellowship group. So often, it's the folks who do not form bonds by working and studying and eating and praying alongside other church members are the ones who end up drifting away from our community of faith. I wholeheartedly believe that we have a congregation of friends in this place, and I celebrate it. But a faithful and healthy congregation of friends doesn't happen in a vacuum. As I was reading the scriptures in preparation for this day, I pondered the option of just reading the last portion of the Acts passage, the part where the early Christians are together, joyfully sharing life. But I think we need the full context of the reading. We need to be reminded that the relationships we forge here are fundamentally different than those we might make with the people we happen to know from our neighborhoods or schools or jobs. Not better, just different. Here, we gather in the presence and power of Jesus Christ. Here, we need to hear Peter's impassioned preaching about who Jesus is and why Jesus matters. We are baptized into the good news of the gospel, made sisters and brothers, siblings in Christ. We witness the signs and wonders of God together, learning how to see and hear the movement of the Holy Spirit by paying attention to the wisdom of our elders and honoring the experiences of our children. We need one another to be Christians. Eugene Peterson put it this way: the way we get in on the splendors of grace is not by mastering elaborate theological dissertations or by practicing austere regimens. It is by joining up with others in the way of faith. Regular, deliberate association with friends who agree that knowing Christ is the goal is something anybody can do. He goes on to say, all of us have one impressive accomplishment to our credit that is not unlike, in its own way, living the gospel. We learned to speak our native language fluently. For many of us, this is English. It is a difficult language. The syntax is bewilderingly intricate. Yet, by the age of 5 or so, all of us had mastered it, and without even going to school. How did we do it? Our parents and brothers and sisters and friends simply began talking, and we began imitating. We just hung around the people who were doing it, and before long, we were doing it too. We learn Christ the same way, by hanging around the people who are doing it. I love his wisdom of regular, deliberate association with friends who agree that knowing Christ is the goal. There's just no way to follow Christ in isolation. So it is no surprise that the Holy Spirit immediately went about the work of establishing the church. The church, at its best, should always be a congregation of friends, of one another, and of Christ himself. But the other reason I think we need the fuller reading from the book of Acts is because we need to be reminded what human beings are capable of. Because it was human beings who crucified and killed Jesus. In a few moments, we will break consecrated bread together. And the words I will speak are words that cut to the quick. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he shared a meal with friends. Where there is friendship, there is risk, even for Jesus. When we make ourselves vulnerable to one another, we open ourselves to the possibility of being hurt. In his wonderful book about friendship, C.S. Lewis writes this: "Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrong and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. Lock it up, safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. The alternative to tragedy, or at least to the risk of tragedy, is damnation. The only place outside heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers and perturbations of love is hell. Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrong and possibly be broken, torn in two like a loaf of bread. Certainly the heart of our Lord and Savior was. And yet, despite the betrayal Jesus experienced at the hands of one he had called a friend, hear again the words of the apostle. God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in death's power. This is the movement. This is the transformation. This is the miracle. The story begins with betrayal, moves through suffering and death, and ends with love and forgiveness and life everlasting. So yes, I want to celebrate our remarkable congregation of friends. I want to acknowledge that there is always risk in love. As Rich often reminds us, the first pastor of the First Congregational Church of Western Springs wrote in a letter that he did not expect a perfect church, nor should they expect a perfect pastor. We may hurt one another. Perhaps it will be a sharp word spoken during the height of the rummage sale, or a heated conversation during the height of an election season. No matter the ebb and flow of our friendships in this sacred place, we return again and again and again to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We return again and again and again to the practices of telling the truth and being brave and extending mercy. We return again and again and again to the table where saints and sinners, equally loved, equally forgiven, eat together with glad and generous hearts. Our congregation of friends is held together not by our own volition, but by the grace of our very, very good God. May it be so. Amen.